After the police shooting in Ferguson, Missouri last summer, many people wished that there had been a video record of the sequence of events that led to the death of Michael Brown. The interesting cameras for police certainly predates Ferguson. Police have been using dashboard and other cameras for years. And then there's the body camera, which sees whatever the police officer sees in or out of a patrol car. Police in several communities adopted these in the recent past. Those include Talent, Oregon, just northwest of Ashland. Mike Moran is the police chief in Talent and our guest here in the studio. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is not one of the bigger cities in the region, so just give us the thumbnail sketch of how big a city, how big a department.
We're about 6,500 population, and police department includes eight sworn, including myself. And we're able to do 24/7, 365 days of the year, in part mostly to the commitment of the officers who come in. We also have 1.5 clerical positions. Can always use more. It seems like it's amazing how many regulations and things there are, and just keeping up with modern requirements in police work.
Which gets to the question, how busy is the department, and what kinds of crime issues do you have in Talent?
Well, we just finished 2014 with what we call calls for service, and those are things where whatever somebody calls in or we find something, we make a case on it. It doesn't count every traffic stop or every time you get out of the car to check something. But these are actual case reports. So there were 3,890 of those, which is kind of roughly within the plus or minus 4,000 range within 100 or so since I've been there. And I've been there since August of 2008. But I think our biggest things are thefts. We go through spates of those. Probably our most serious things are drunk drivers, impaired drivers, not just intoxicated on alcohol. And I think that's a big issue. And the other big issue is, thefts and things like that.
So what talk about the steps leading up to decision to go ahead and outfit your officers with body cameras.
Well, we've had cars that were outfitted, a couple of them, with video cameras. The problem with a video camera in a car, you really don't see a lot of things that go on. For example, you go into a house, car, obviously you can't go in the house with you, but the body cam does. And we had a case where a couple of years ago, somebody made up some crazy allegations about a police officer being brutal and doing all sorts of heinous things. And fortunately, it was alleged that happened right in front of the police car, and we had the video cam. So the power of that was very helpful. But the body cam, you have it inside the house, everywhere you go. There's a perception that it sees what you see, but sometimes as you look at it, you have to realize, well, yeah, there's some things off to the peripheral vision that the camera doesn't capture. But essentially, it captures enough, and officers use it to critique themselves. They look back and think, oh, well, I probably could have phrased that better, or maybe I should have done that better. So it's helpful on many levels.
And does every officer get one? I mean, is everybody in the field outfitted with a body camera?
Yes, myself included. There's eight of them, and I don't have that many occasions to use it. I don't use it every time I walk up and talk to somebody. But you walk into a situation, you don't like a traffic stop, you don't know how that's going to go. We've had some crazy videos. Albuquerque, New Mexico is probably the, I guess, the leader with body cams. And they have had some pretty scary things happen on their body cameras. Most recently, an officer shot. And so that we encourage the officers, if you're going to have a contact that it's an unknown situation or it's known that it's going to be dicey, then get the camera going.
In fact, it's about the size of, I can use these old references, like it's the size of a pack of cigarettes, but who has cigarettes anymore?
Yeah.
And it clips right onto the breast pocket of the shirt. And in fact, if you look at the picture on our Facebook page, you can see Mike Moran with the body camera clearly on the front of his uniform. You can also join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about police body cams. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Did you do much shopping around for features when you were looking for body cameras, or was it something that kind of fell into your lap?
Well, this particular brand is made by Taser Incorporated, and they're known for their devices that
it's become a verb.
Yeah,
getting tasered. Yeah,
yeah, it's odd how the things develop like that. But the corporation came up with this, and they had a pretty good enticement to us. It was cameras were free. So essentially, we had to trade in some old junker cameras we had laying around, you know, like an old one that used to have film in it. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
free as part of a package to buy tasers or something?
No, just they didn't even really want those cameras, but giving us these cameras just to get it kind of going, I guess, to buy their brand. But it had a lot of aspects. We looked at some other cameras too. There's other brands out there, and this one has a pretty good support going with it. The only problem with Not the only problem, but a problem is that, this part's free, but what isn't free is your storage of the information. And with 8 officers, and like I said, I don't use it too often, but other officers are very active in their use. After a while, the amount of memory storage that you've paid for will increase. So the first year, let's say, I'm not conversant really with all the terms, but let's say it's 10 gigabytes of storage. Well, the next year, you want to add a little bit to that because you have to keep some of the stuff from the prior year. And over time, just the retention laws in Oregon for public records, these are public record. So you have to keep things a certain amount of time. Some you can dispose of within 30 days, some within 6 months. 7 months, whatever. And then some you keep forever. For example, we had a very serious crime occur in Talent the other day, attempted murder case that occurred just a couple of days into the new year. We use these extensively to capture evidence, to capture statements and things like that. So they're more than just walking up on a scene. They can be used as an evidence gathering device also. But the problem is you got to keep that stuff.
Right. So how do they work? I mean, are they always recording or recording at a prompt? I understand there's some sort of back time feature on it.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of crazy crashes on police video sites or on TV sometimes. You think, wow, that's really weird they had their camera going. But with this particular one, what happens is when the power's on, it's buffering for 30 seconds. So right now, if I were to turn it on, it would go back in time for 30 seconds. Wouldn't capture the audio, but it would capture the video. So like we can mount these on our rearview mirrors. So we're driving down the road and we see a crash. We could reach up, hit it, and it'll go back and capture the crash. If you think that quickly, but, you know, I wonder that if I would do that, I'd probably think, oh, my goodness, I got to get out and help. But if you think about it, you walk into a situation that turns a little sour, you hit your camera, it goes back 30 seconds, and you can see the prelude to what turned bad before the audio comes on.
Then you, or so the audio does come in after that 30 seconds.
Yeah, just the first 30 seconds you won't have audio. But it's always on, but we're like, for example, right now it's on, and if I were to hit it, the button, it would start recording as of 30 seconds ago. The video. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of handy, really. A very good piece of equipment.
We have a call here. Let's go to Don and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Talent Police Chief Mike Moran about body cameras.
Oh, hi, Don. Good morning. I have a simple question. Can a civilian use a camera in his car to, say, dispute a traffic violation? I just had an experience. I went up to my granddaughter's graduation in Seattle and didn't realize that I was going over a toll bridge, and I got a ticket for not paying the toll.
Oops.
But they're watching. But I just wondered if, we were talking and I missed the sign. But be careful of that floating bridge, by the way.
Right.
they're watching. Anyway, I just wonder, when I was younger, sometimes I would get tickets for something. I didn't feel like they were correct in the estimated speed or what happened. And I just wonder if a civilian can use a dashboard camera to defend. Is that legal?
Sure. It depends on the state that you're in. For example, in Oregon, let's say you had a dashboard cam or you had one of these devices. And I don't know if these are sold to the public or not. I haven't heard one.
Well, they certainly get GoPros and things like that, too.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And I don't know if they have that 30-second buffering thing. So let's say for the sake of argument that you're driving down the road and you're stopped and you can say, hey, I've got a video of that too. And you could bring that to court. Now, the only problem in Oregon to keep in mind, and this isn't necessarily the rule in every other state, but every state has their own laws about recording other people. Now, in Oregon, if I am doing a video of somebody, I can record it. I don't have to tell them I'm doing it, except, well, there are some times where you would. But if I'm capturing – if we're having a conversation face-to-face and I'm recording your voice and I don't tell you about that, that's a violation of Oregon law. I could call you up on the phone and record you, and that's not a problem. But if you have a video, I think it'd be very interesting for the judge to see your video, and then the officer, if he had a video of it, it could get very technical. So I think the use of that would be perfectly legal. The only thing is, we always err on the side of when we're going to record somebody, we tell them you are being audio and visually recorded.
My last encounter with a police officer for a traffic issue was also billboarded that way. It's like, I'm recording this. I just need you to know that. Don, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. You also can join us as we talk about body cameras with Mike Moran, Talent Police Chief, at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How much training comes with the cameras? And you're talking earlier about peripheral vision. I wonder if you're training officers now to make sure that when they go into a crime scene, they're just going to swivel their bodies around to catch all the scenery.
Not a whole lot of training other than the technical aspects of it. But as things develop, you know, when you're the school of hard knocks, actually, let's say you're in trial and the defense lawyer says, well, hey, I don't see that on this thing that you just told me about. And, you know, everybody in a jury, I think, wants as much information as they can possibly have. So while these are great, they could also offer up a little doubt, I suppose, in a juror's mind. Well, how come that's not on there? It's the CSI effect, kind of.
Right. Everybody wants to see the exact, the exact physical evidence has to be there to support what you're saying.
And it may not be there. And you know, at a certain point, you have to take a police officer. He's sworn to tell the truth, and you have to decide, absent any proof that he's being deceptive, you know, who are you going to believe? And so it's a he said, she said kind of thing sometimes in the courtroom.
So where is the video stored, Chief? Who has access to it, and what are the rights to view or delete?
Well, it's stored on a server through what's known as evidence.com. It's part of the Taser Corporation and our contract with them. Now, an officer cannot – let's say they did something boneheaded that they're embarrassed by. They can't go in and just delete it. That's an administrator's opportunity, and that would be myself and the sergeant. So
is there an interlock? Like, you got to have two guys approving this for it to be deleted, kind of thing.
It has to be at least approved by administrator. I don't know that we'd. Well, I guess the original officer, would have to okay deletion of something coming up, but it would have to also be approved by the administrator of the thing. So that keeps, you know, things from maybe we want to look at. We get a complaint, for example, the officer said this or that. Okay, well, we'll look at the video. That allows us as supervisors to look at it, and it can't be removed. So there's that, I think that's good. And you had a second part of that question there.
Whether it could be deleted was the big one, where it's stored, all that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
So that answers the basic set of questions. And you've had, what, 6 months to get used to these by now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like second nature now.
And so what kinds of things have you learned? I mean, there must have been a few things like, oh, well, that's great that it can do that, or whoops, we didn't really intend for that to happen.
Well, some of the concerns are, well, this is a public record. Basically, you know, we know that most things in government are. So they're one of the things we're trying to figure out in Oregon. Oregon has a pretty, I guess, liberal would be a good term for it, thing with public records that unless there's a good reason not to have it out, then we put it out. So what I'm looking forward to is maybe the legislature catching up with technology with our laws relative to that. I think the Oregon law about what we have to like if somebody said, hey, I want a copy of this video. Well, if you're the defendant, yeah, you get a copy of it as part of the disclosure prior to going in. But let's say you're just somebody, hey, I heard there was a crazy case where you went into somebody's house and something crazy happened. I want a copy of that. Well, this brings up a whole privacy issue, too, that we hadn't really thought about. And it's become part of the discussion here.
Plus news organizations requesting this stuff as well.
Right. And so you have to balance. I think the Oregon, the basic Oregon premise here is really good, that it's public record unless there's a need for the privacy to override that. And let's say somebody comes in and says, hey, I want that video. Well, and we're concerned about, we go into people's houses with video cameras, and they have a certain level of expectation of privacy. So it's a whole discussion that I think has to still be had, and perhaps the legislature should take a look at that this session that's starting up this month.
And how do the officers generally feel about them? Any growing pains or break-in issues or, whoops, I dropped my camera and broke it?
I don't think we've broken any yet. I'm a little worried about the fact that we've used these so much that I don't know where we are on our capacity to store it. We've been fortunate that none of them have been broken, but, it's a rough and tumble job sometimes, so I imagine that'll happen.
You got these just before the incident in Ferguson, didn't you?
Yeah. We got them, I think, online early August, late July perhaps, and had a lot of interest from other departments locally. We just happened to have – I have a fellow who is an officer, Officer Dan Mullen, who really is up on technology. And he was kind of touting that we needed maybe something better than just the car videos. So he had done a lot of research, and we'd been working on it for about a year prior to when we got them.
All right. Well, we'll see how they play out in the future. This
yeah.
is a fairly tame town to get body cameras in, but there are other ones as well, considering doing what you've done in Talent with getting body cameras. Mike Moran is the police chief in Talent. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. It's been fun.